2, and we're going to begin with verse number 5 of this passage. So follow along this morning, Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse number 5. The Bible tells us here, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue," notice, every tongue, "should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray this morning. Lord, we love you today, and thank you for the opportunity to open our Bibles once again and get to know you better, Lord. Oh God, that's a lifelong pursuit to know our Jesus better. And God, this morning may we have that a better knowledge of you and who you are and what you did for us, Lord, because of what that word says to us today. And Lord, we just pray that you take the word of God and meet the need of every heart and every life. No doubt somebody's going through a trial or a burden or facing a trouble in their life. And God, we know that you're the guide through all those problems. You're the guide through all those needs. And so help us, I pray this morning, to take our hearts and look at our hearts to you and open our hearts to God this morning by that word. Speak to us now, we pray, by that word. In Jesus' name, amen. Was Jesus really God? Was he really God? It may surprise you to know that there are many who do not believe that Jesus was God. There are many who see some things in Scripture a little differently, and there are some who just don't know anything about Jesus. Some say that Jesus was not God, but that he was somehow this creation of God, this being, if you will, that God made. And they take verses like in this passage of Scripture, how God made him in the likeness of human flesh. And they divert off from who he really was, and they give us this idea that somehow he wasn't God, but he was some created being that came to this earth. Is that true? Some say that Jesus was not the Messiah, and some say that Jesus, because of that, he was not God. He was not the Messiah. We recently heard this from a man, I think he was a very sincere man, who believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but yet that he was not God. And, you know, some say even this, that Jesus never even claimed to be God. Some say that Jesus never claimed to be God. Can I invite your attention to verse number 6 in the passage that we just read? Notice it says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, who was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Do you know they'd have never put Jesus on the cross had he never claimed to be God? They'd have never put him on the cross. The very fact that he was God brought the Judaizers and brought the Pharisees to this culmination where it brought them to the place where they thought he was speaking blasphemously by declaring himself to be equal with God. So the real question today that many people and some genuinely seeking people are trying to find out is, was Jesus really God? Now, I know if you've been in church and studied your Bible, I know you've come to that conclusion, that understanding. But can I tell you, we live in a world, we live where so many people are so unsure. And that unsureness brings an unsettledness, and it brings a confusion to our life. And you know, God gave His Word for a purpose. He gave us His Word so that we might have Christ settled in our heart and our life. I like things that are settled. Amen? I like it when it's settled. I had a car one time, minivan, and I made all the payments on the end, but they never sent me the title back. And they said, I called them, I said, hey, can you send me the title back? The car is paid off. I said, well, there are still some things that are unsettled with it. It was a Ford, so it gave me a lot of unsettling times in my life. But it was unsettled. And I said, what's going on? And I cleared it all up. And they sent me that was a good feeling to get that title in my hand. Amen. And that's a little thing, but it's, you know, the great thing is to know that God has been settled in your heart. Amen. In your life. That way we live every day with a peace and assurance. And so some don't have that settling in their heart. Some don't know who Jesus really is. They think all kinds of different things. You know, it's funny because, you know, there are billions of people in the world, not millions. There are billions of people in the world who believe Jesus was maybe a good man. He was maybe a prophet. Maybe he was some great leader. Or somebody that just came, a human that came to earth to be good. Well, can I tell you something today? I want to take you through some things about Jesus in the Bible that, Lord willing, can help us understand and come to this conclusion that Jesus is God. And He was God in the flesh. And I want to take you, first of all, to 1 John chapter 5. Would you turn there with me? The book of 1 John. Not just the book of John, but the book of 1 John, backed by Revelation. If you'll turn there with me, I want to show you what Scripture teaches about Jesus. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse number 7. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. We're going to look at some Scripture this morning, because Scripture settles the issue, doesn't it? Scripture settles the issue. 1 John chapter 5, let's look at verse number 7. Notice the Bible says that there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And notice this, these three are one. These three are one. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one. Now, the Bible doesn't teach polytheism, which believes there's many gods. That's not what it's saying. The Bible is teaching that God is one God, and He's three in that one. You say, how do you explain it? I don't know how to explain it, other than what Scripture teaches and what Scripture says. But God, Jesus, and God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are three in one. That means Jesus is equal with God. And the Holy Spirit is equal with Jesus. And God the Father is equal with the Holy Spirit, because these three are one. Now, if they are one, then first of all, we must understand that Jesus is God. If he's the same. If He claimed to be equal with God, and He claimed to be one with God, then He was God. Can I say, secondly today, some say that Jesus could not be God because Jesus died, and God cannot die. Now, first of all, There's no scripture that says that God cannot die. But isn't it proof that when Jesus died, he raised himself up from the dead? That is proof that he was God, because he could die and raised himself up from the dead. And not only did he raise himself up from the dead, but he raised others up from the dead. If he was not God, how could he have done those amazing things? Some say, well, he was just this created being by God, and God gave him the power, but he was not God. Well, I want to debunk that one here a little bit, so stay with me, all right? But Jesus said here, notice, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says that God the Father raised him from the dead. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says that the Spirit of God raised him from the dead. In John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus said, I will raise up myself after 3 days. Now, what is it? Did God the Father raise him up? God the Holy Spirit raise him up? Or did Jesus raise himself up? The point is, they all three raised him up, because he was one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit raised up Jesus from the dead. That shows he was God. He was God. Some don't understand that. Some don't understand a lot of these things. But can I tell you, Scripture is what settles it out. Can I say, thirdly, Jesus could not be God because he took on a human form. And humans are depraved. We're sinners. So how could a perfect God be clothed in an imperfect human body? Well, can I tell you something? Take your Bible and go to John chapter 1 with me. Look at the book of John. Look at the book of John. Are you still with me? Look at the book of John. Chapter 1, verse 1. By the way, John came to bear witness of that light. John chapter 1, look at verse 1. In the beginning. Now what's that? Where's the beginning? That's long before you and I ever got around this place, right? In the beginning. Like one little boy said, he went home and he told his mom and dad, he said, I went to church. He said, what'd you learn? I learned about baseball. Baseball, what'd you do? I learned in the big inning. He got that mixed up a little bit, I think, right? But in the beginning, notice what it says, was the Word. We already saw who the Word was in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. Notice, the same was in the beginning with God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. When creation, and let's go on and read the next verse. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You see, Jesus was present in creation. And by the way, the Old Testament affirms that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, when it says, in the beginning, God. The word God ends with the Hebrew form Elohim, which is the plural. The plural. God was plural in the beginning. And it doesn't mean polytheism, many gods. It means three gods, three in one, and one God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. But that God could not possibly take on human flesh. Can I tell you what? This is the great miracle, that God in his infinite wisdom could take on human flesh. But you know, if that human flesh had ever sinned, then he could not have been God, because God was perfect. That's why it says when he went on the cross that he knew no sin. That's the miracle of God, is that a perfect God could take the form of a human body in this life, and the whole purpose was that he might dwell amongst us, that he might save us from our sins. And the reason Jesus took upon himself a human form was so that we could understand and know him better. He could be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That's why he did it. He took upon our flesh because he desired to know how we live and how we, the things we go through and the temptations we face and the troubles and the burdens we face. He came to this earth for that purpose. And so it is a greater evidence that he was God, that he could take on human flesh and never be tainted by sin. Amen. He was the Word made flesh, the Bible says. Some deny that, but may I tell you what? It only shows that it's a greater miracle. It only shows and demonstrates that God is. Jesus was God. It only proves him all the more. Jesus was God. You know, here's another question. If Jesus was not God, how could he save us from our sins?
That's right. Amen.
How could he save us from our sins? Could imperfection save imperfection? No. And that's why we cannot go to some other person or a priest and have our sins absolved.
Amen.
Because that person behind that booth is the same sinner as you and I are. Sin. We're all sinners. Only Jesus could save us from our sins, and we know this. Look at verse 29 of John 1. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." How could Jesus pay for sins if he was not God? Because no man could ever pay for sins. I'm telling you today that he was God. Jesus was God. His word affirms it again and again. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 1 with me. The book of Matthew chapter 1. So get your Bible exercise this morning in the Bible, all right? Matthew chapter 1, and of course, this is the genealogies of Jesus Christ when he came and the purpose by which he came. Notice the name that he was given here. Look at verse 21. Again, the Bible says, Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying," and he's talking about Isaiah, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth the son, and notice, they shall call him Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." You see, when Jesus came, only he could pay for our sins. And they had to understand, the Bible says they understood that he was God with us. You know, deniers don't really understand that. But can I tell you what? Thank God we see and understand he was God with us. What a miracle. What a miracle right there. Just to know that God the Father sent Jesus. And by the way, it called him God, didn't it? God with us. That is the great miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't come onto this earth to create his own reputation. He came to earth to glorify and honor the Father. That's where the confusion comes when many say that Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant and he was meek and lowly. He couldn't be God if that was the case. Oh no, it proved he was God. Because it took him out of his own will and gave that his own heart and his own will to the Father. You say, well, Jesus didn't want to die on that cross. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Can I tell you something? Jesus was subservient. He took upon him the form of a servant, and he willingly went to that cross and died for us. I'm sure in a human body, he didn't want to go through the pain of the cross and the beating and the agony of that form of torture. But he willingly did it for you and me. He was God with us. And if he wasn't God, there's no way he could take our sins away and cleanse us. He's Emmanuel. Oh, I'm saying to you, it's important to understand Jesus is God. Because if you do not recognize that Jesus is God, there is no way to be saved. You say, how do you come to that conclusion? Because God told us, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God. We get saved through Jesus Christ to God. It's through Christ. You say, why is it through Christ? It's because the shed blood of Christ on the cross that he died is the covering and the payment for our sins. We're reminded in 1 Peter chapter 2 that he is the propitiation for our sin. It simply means payment. He's the payment for our sin. So we get to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, if Jesus wasn't God, he couldn't save us because our sins have to be cleansed before we can even get to heaven. Because God can't allow sin into heaven. It's a perfect place. And if I get to heaven, I have one sin on my account and everybody else has one sin, then heaven's going to be just as bad as this old earth is. So God sent Jesus, his son, the perfect son of God, to pay for our sins. And by doing this and taking upon him the form of the servant, he wasn't denying his Godhead. He was submitting to the will of his Father. And that will, he conformed to God so that we could be saved in his precious blood. If he wasn't God, how could we be saved in his blood? His blood is what saves us from our sins. But I want you to look at the other side of the coin this morning for a few minutes. Let's say that Jesus was not God. Now, I don't want to say that. But let's say that. Let's say Jesus was not God. Is there any problem with saying that Jesus was not God? Let me give you some points. Number one, if Jesus was not God, then he'd have to be just a man. Right? If Jesus was not God, he'd have to be a man. If he were just a man, then he was a liar. Right? Because he claimed to be equal with God. And if he was just a man, then he wasn't equal with God. So he's a liar, right? So how could you trust somebody that's a liar? You couldn't, could you? You couldn't trust him. So if he were just a man and he were a liar, then how does he do these miracles? How do all these miracles come to pass? And how can Jairus' daughter be healed and the blind be healed and the lame walk? And how can all these miracles occur by just a lying man? Impossible. You see, either he was God or he was the biggest liar in history. And can I tell you what? He was not a liar. And the works, the healing that he did because he was God. How could we be saved through Jesus if he was a liar? Because the Bible tells us we have to be saved through Jesus and through his name. How could we do that if Jesus was lying to us? Or why would God highly exalt his name if he were a liar? Like we saw in chapter 2 of Philippians. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Hey, why would God exalt a liar and his name? He wouldn't do that. I'll tell you why he did it. Because Jesus was God. There was no lie in him. The Bible says there was no guile found in him. There was no falsehood found in Jesus. If he was just a man, how could you be saved? If he was just a man, how could he cleanse our sins? It's impossible. A man cannot pay for the sins of another man. One can take a punishment of somebody else, but you can't take somebody else's sins and pay for them. If he was just a man, then why would the Bible tell us that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father? Why would Jesus say that? I want to say to you today unequivocally, Scripture, history, context of all the Bible brings us to an understanding of this, that one day God in heaven wanted mankind to be saved. He wanted mankind to have their sins forgiven so that we could be reconciled to God. Sin broke our relationship with God. Sin broke us and brought us away from God. And only Jesus, the sinless Son of God, could come and pay for those sins that we've done on the cross. And by paying for those sins, he not only washed our sins away in his blood, but he reconciled us back again with God. Amen. who loved us from the beginning of all history, because he created mankind in his image. And he wanted us to be reconciled with him. And that day when you fell on your knees and opened your heart to Christ, and you asked Christ to come into your heart, that very day, you and I, our sins were forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. We were brought close to God. And can I tell you, if Jesus was not God, none of that could have ever happened. He is God. He was God on this earth. He was God in the flesh. And thank God, the purpose by which he came was to save us from our sins. You know, it's a great thing to be free from sin. Amen. It's a great thing to know that sin is not rested on our account. It's a wonderful thing to know that sin was cleansed through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus reminded us of this one fact. And he said, as many as received him, to them, John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. And anytime somebody tells me Jesus was not God, I always look back at that day when he cleansed my sins and washed my sins in his blood. And by faith I accepted him. And I know the peace and the freedom from sin. Amen. You know, Jesus wants to give that to anybody. Anybody who's willing can open their heart. From the worst of us to the best of us. From the youngest of us to the oldest of us. Jesus holds out those nail-scarred hands to any of us and every of us, every one of us. The Bible reminds us that he is still in heaven and he's ever interceding on our behalf, going to God the Father on our behalf. He is an advocate with the Father, 1 John chapter 3. He is an advocate with the Father. He goes to God and through his blood pleads to God the Father. And God says, well, since they've come to you, since they've come to me through Jesus, I want to save them. And Jesus takes that blood and washes our sins all away. What freedom in life. And do you know what? God wants everyone to understand that Jesus is God and that he desires to save us from your sins. And that happened to me when I was a 13-year-old boy. And the preacher preached the word of God. And I opened my heart that day to Christ. And I asked the Lord to come into my heart. And many of you have a similar testimony of a day, a time, when you opened your heart to Christ and you trusted him as your Savior. Can I tell you what? That's the greatest day of your life, because that means that there is a home in heaven for us. Amen. Through his saving blood. But you know, there's some that still don't know Christ. There's some that have not received him and don't know him. And can I tell you what? The Lord Jesus is holding out his hand to you today. And he's saying, I'll wash your sins away, my blood. I'll forgive you. I'll give you at home in heaven because I'm God and I paid for your sins in his blood. And all you and I have to do is open our heart and receive him into our hearts. You know, this morning we're going to have an invitation. And you're here this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something that may seem a little hard or maybe a little bold. But if you're here today and you've never received Christ, I want to encourage you to take my hand this morning. Say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I've never trusted Christ before. May I tell you what? We'll pray with you. And you can pray that prayer and ask Christ, the God of heaven, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, to come into your heart and your life today. Would you trust him today? Would you make that faith real in your own heart? Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning.